because of our participation in the half marathon, we're going to have just a shorter message. I'll call it a devotional rather than a message per se, a sermon. And the message that I want to share with you comes out of Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Paul the Apostle says this, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." For those of you that know anything at all about the letter that Paul wrote to the people in Philippi, this particular letter that we call Philippians was one of the prison letters. So when we read this, and this is an awesome letter, it has some of my most favorite passages in it. It's the letter in which he elevates Christ Jesus. He speaks in this letter about Jesus having emptied himself. He's stepping aside from his role in heaven, coming down to earth to be not just one of us, not just to live as a man on the earth, but be a servant of men. In fact, he goes beyond that. He says, not only did he come to be a servant of men, but he came to give his life for us. And as though that weren't enough, he makes sure that we understand that he didn't just give his life, but that he gave his life on a cross. And it's with that understanding that he then springs forward and he says, because of that, because of the fact that he stepped aside from the glory that he knew in heaven, because of the fact that he emptied himself completely to the place where he willingly and in obedience and submission to the request of the Father, that he surrendered himself on a cross for us. And it's then, just after that, that he then says, and because of that, because of his willingness to empty himself in such a way, because of his obedience even unto death on a cross, it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, therefore God also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, of those who are in heaven and those that are on the earth and even those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's one of those things that Paul writes in this letter as he himself is at this time locked up, a prisoner for the sake of the gospel. And somehow in the midst of that, he's getting the Spirit of God is speaking into him and flowing through him. And he sends forth a letter that not only did it bless the people of that day, but here we are thousands of years later, reading the same letter and being blessed by those words. Paul has reflected on that person, that Jesus Christ, who stepped away from that position of glory, who emptied himself on a cross. Paul looked at his own life, and as he continued writing this letter to the people in Philippi from his prison cell, he comes into the place in the letter in chapter 3 where he then begins to think about the things that he had in his own life, the positions that he had earned, the titles that he had, and all the different letters that would have been lined up at the end of his name. He thinks about the positions he had religiously. He thinks about the education he had. He thinks about the status he had as a religious professional in his day. And yet, having already reflected upon Jesus, who completely emptied himself of everything that he had, Paul then, reflecting on that, considering his own life, recognizes that the things that he had already earned, that he had already obtained, that he had already possessed as a human on this earth, that compared to the things that he had offered, being held out to him in Christ, he said, the things of this world that I had received already, they were nothing. They were like dung. And he actually then says, and I pointed this out many times before, that as you continue to read through this section in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 up to verse 8, he says, I count all things as loss, as dung. Not just that I might have a fellowship with Jesus, not that I just might bow my head and pray a prayer and say that I know him. He says, looking upon the person of Christ, the ministry of Christ, the grace of Christ, all that he was, all that was wrapped up in him, Paul looked at the things that he had, and he said, when I consider those things side by side with Jesus Christ, the phrase that he used, and I love to think on this phrase, is the surpassing value of Christ Jesus. And as I pointed out in the past, he recognized the things of this world in their context, there's value. We're not saying that the things of this world have no value, because in their context, it's good to have a little bit of money. It's good to have health. It's good to have a home that doesn't leak. It's good to have a car. Those things, he's not saying that those in and of themselves are wrong or bad or evil. He's saying, but the pursuit of those things, the setting of those as my goal, the goal for my life, it wasn't worth it anymore because considered side by side with the things of Jesus Christ, the things of Jesus, the mountain of grace and glory and promises I had in him far surpassed the things of this world that I had. And he used that phrase. He said, in Christ, I saw surpassing, far beyond value. As much as $1,000, how many people have been watching the news and saw that there's a huge mega billions of dollars lottery out there? People are lining up for, it seems, miles to get their cards for the lottery. And yet, in Paul's estimation, he would say, even that, compared to Jesus, he far surpasses it. Like a child with her little piggy bank and a few coins in there, as far as the mega billion dollar lottery surpasses that, he's saying the things of Christ Jesus were far beyond the things of this world. And so he thinks and he speaks and he says, and so my desire, the goal of my life, is to cut off, cast away the things that slow me down, that hinder me. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says that both sin and the things that clutter up my life. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, in the similar way that we see in here this concept of pressing on. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, I kick away the things that would slow me down, hinder or encumber me. When we were out there passing out drinks, we had the first few runners come by and their mind was set. They could care less about the drinks we had. They just went past us. They barely even waved us off. They were so focused on what they were doing. They were focused on what was ahead. We actually had some people late in the line that actually stopped, took their drink, went over, dropped their cup in the garbage. In fact, a few people dropped it in the water bucket. Huge difference. The focus for those early runners was to not just complete the race, but to do it as quickly as they can, focused on the end. And it's with that attitude that Paul is even writing this letter, and he says, in my mind, getting a hold of Jesus, holding close to him, clinging to him, receiving from him his presence, his character, his peace, his acceptance, his hope, his love, all that he has, bringing that into my life. He says, I count the things of this world as nothing compared to that. And so as he continues this letter, he says, my goal, my desire is that I might fully know him. Know his person, know his heartbeat, know what he likes, what he doesn't like. He says in verse 12, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, yet I haven't already obtained that. I haven't fully received Jesus into my heart and life. I haven't fully brought him, obtained all that he has for me. He recognizes that Jesus, when he left heaven and came to this earth, it wasn't because he had nothing else to do. I'm sure that Jesus had a lot of things he had to cancel on his to-do list to leave heaven and come to earth. And Paul's saying, but he did it. Why? Because he wanted you. He wanted me. He wanted the world to be in fellowship with him, to experience his blessing. And so Paul, reflecting on that, he says, I have not fully received, I have not fully obtained everything that he grabbed me for, that he embraced me for, that he obtained me for. I have not gotten it all. And so, recognizing and not regarding myself as having laid hold of it all, this is what I do. The one thing I do is I forget the things that are behind, and I press on for the things that I might fully receive, obtain everything that Jesus came to obtain me for. Now, I think about those runners that came through here. Those runners, we don't know what happened to them in the first 10 miles of their race. I think we're somewhere right around the 10-mile mark. There's 9-plus miles behind them by the time they get to our water station. They could have tripped. They could have been bumped. I mean, I think how many people have ever seen the start of a race? It looks like craziness. You know, a couple hundred or 1,000 people taking off at once, bumping into each other, stumbling perhaps, tripping. But when you get past that, he's saying the runner that's at milepost 10 doesn't run thinking about what happened in milepost 1 or 2 or 3. If he stumbled or he fumbled or he tripped or his shoe came loose, that stuff's behind. For all we know, that the guy that was first in that race, he himself could have tripped. We don't know. What we know is that he was focused on the goal. And what Paul is trying to encourage you and I to do as well is that we might have that same determination, that same focus that those runners, especially early in the race, had. Is that not being turned aside by all the offers of where's our Gatorade and our water component? Where's June? June, that was on one side of the street yelling out, Gatorade, Gatorade, and Trent's on the other side hawking his water. Last time, last chance, this is all you're going to get. But no matter how exciting or appealing they made it seem, even though they were offering it in golden chalices, the runners weren't deterred. They kept focused because they had a goal in mind. My brothers, my sister, Jesus' goal, his desire, is that you and I might so wholly embrace him, that we might so know him, know his heartbeat, know his tenderness, know his healing power, know his healing touch, know his compassion. Jesus wants you and I to so experience those things first ourselves and be so swept away, washed over by those things, that we could not help but share the truth with others around us. And so I ask you to look in your own life and to consider for yourself, are you pressing on? Are you focused on fully obtaining for yourself your daily experience the wholeness of Christ Jesus? Have you fully come into and fully, are you fully experiencing everything that Jesus came to this earth to extend to you? Well, if you say you are, I'll call you a liar. Because Paul the Apostle himself said, I have not yet fully experienced all those things. And not just experienced them. It's not that Paul just wanted to have a touch of God. It wasn't that he just wanted God, oh, bless me today, God. Paul wanted to abide in the presence of Jesus Christ in such a way that he never left. And that's my encouragement to you, my brothers and sisters, is that you and I together, that we might set before ourselves, that our goal might be as those runners today and as Paul the Apostle was, that our goal, undeterred by the things that are being hawked by the world to the left or to the right, that our goal might be that we count all things as loss, as dung, for the surpassing value of fully abiding in the presence of Christ Jesus. And that you and I would not stop. We would not be held back by the things that have happened yesterday, this morning, last week, last year, 10 years ago. Don't look back except to rejoice in what God has done. But press on that no matter how much you've experienced him so far, there's still 3 miles left to go. You can almost see the end. Some of us may feel like you're a little closer than others. We don't know how long it is, but we know that we will never fully understand all those things until we're in his presence. Yet, there's still more that he has for us, even here and now.